Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. Listen in color. In partnership with Mishcon de Rea. It's business, but it's personal.
I don't care about your past.
That was James Brown, of course, with Cold Sweat Part 1. It's me, Elliot Moss. Hello, good morning, and it is Jazz Shapers here on Jazz FM. Jazz Shapers is the place where you can hear the very best of the people who are shaping the world of jazz, blues and soul, alongside their equivalents in the world of business, a business shaper. I'm delighted to say my business shaper today is Mr. Simon Devonshire. He is none other than the entrepreneur in residence. Yes, you heard me right. The entrepreneur in residence at the Business Innovations and Skills Department with the British Government. What an amazing title. He's also a serial entrepreneur. You're going to be hearing a lot of useful stuff from him very shortly. In addition to hearing from Simon, you'll also be hearing from our programme partners at Mishcon de Rea, some words of advice for your business. And on top of all of that, you know what's coming. Some brilliant music from the shapers of jazz, blues and soul, including Eliane Elias, Gregory Porter, and this from the Neil Cowley Trio. The emotive sound of the Neil Cowley Trio with Sparkling. This is Jazz Shapers, as I said, and I'm Elliot Moss. And I'm joined today by Mr. Simon Devonshire. And he is, as I said, not just a serial entrepreneur, but also the entrepreneur in residence at the Business Innovations and Skills Department. Simon, I've got an entrepreneur in residence in residence. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, thank you.
Tell me, and we'll go into all the different things that you've done over the years and that you do, and obviously you have a busy mind. What does an entrepreneur in residence for the British government do when he's at home?
So the two things, really. So the job title officially is entrepreneur in residence - scale up. So my job is really to help government come up with the policies and the plans that are going to help British businesses grow. So fundamentally, I do two things. Firstly, just to inject the spirit of entrepreneurialism within Whitehall. So that's just applying the kind of energy and motivation that you would typically associate with being entrepreneurial. And secondly, it's to be participant in the conversations that are happening that actually shape the policies to affect business.
And in those conversations, you've been doing the job for how long now?
So it's an annual appointment. So typically it lasts for between kind of 9 to 12 months or so. And I've been I was appointed in July, so I'm about halfway through that period. And it's a 1 day a week kind of commitment.
And have you found that business has a place in the thoughts of British government that is positive, that is actually real, or is this lip service?
I think it's incredible, actually. I mean, it's been a real eye-opener for me. Firstly, just how impressive the talent is within Whitehall. I don't know quite what I was expecting, but there are some people who are phenomenally talented. They have an ability to draw a real broad spectrum of people who work within the civil service, both the academically elite through to very conventional people who've worked their way through the government hierarchy. And absolutely, business, by virtue of the title of the department, Business Innovation Skills, is fundamental to their whole existence, and they are passionate about the success of business.
Stay with me to hear much more from Simon, my business shaper. He is also the founder or one of the co-founders of Concept Cupboard, Coding Cupboard, and he's also involved with a business called Wayro, which we're going to be talking about. And even if you recall when I talked to Mr. Duncan Goose a while ago, one of the founders of OneWater, he was one of the ideas men behind that too. Time for some music. This is Gregory Porter and Lonesome Lover. Gregory Porter with the melodic Lonesome Lover. Simon Devish is my business shaper, and as you heard earlier, he is the entrepreneur in residence in BIS, which is the Business and Innovation Skills Department in the British government. He's also, as I said, all a serial entrepreneur. Now, let's go back in time before we talk about all the things you came up with. You're a marketing guy originally, if that's not an unfair thing to say. Mm-hmm. You've done the kind of agency thing, lots of different agencies, which gives you great exposure to big clients. Yeah. Your first foray into your own business, what was it and what made you think, you know what, I'm not just going to do it for other people and come up with great ideas, I'm going to do something for myself. Do you remember what precipitated that feeling?
Absolutely, I remember it vividly. So I'd worked for 14 years in marketing agencies and advertising agencies, and I met the delightful Mrs. Devonshire and made a transition in my career from working on the agency side of things to going into a client-side organisation, a big corporate, in fact. Because I felt that that would not only further my career, but also it was about, you know, balance in life and everything else. And when I got there, I found that I didn't fit at all, talking from a cultural perspective. And I found the experience quite a stifling one. And one of the obvious things to do is then just give up on it and return back to the land that you know well and feel more comfortable in. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel that was a compelling option. I didn't want to quit.
When was this, roughly?
This is in 2000. Okay. So I joined Yellow Pages to help create Yell.com, which was a big gig, and I was proud to do it. And I had to commute quite a lot to as part of that job in order to get to the office. And I read a lot, and I knew that I needed to find a vehicle for my creativity and my entrepreneurialism that working in a corporate environment didn't give me.
Had you had those feelings before as a youngster, before universities? Had you done things that would have, as you look back now, you go, okay, that kind of makes sense. I've always enjoyed doing that kind of stuff.
So my father was originally a graphic designer, but then moved into the family business, and I grew up... So he owned his own shop for 40 years as a florist. So I grew up in a shop, effectively. And my brother's 6 years older than me and was always very entrepreneurial. And I kind of started my first job when I was 9 as an assistant paper rounder and always had money and always sort of understood the concept of money and the value of money and you know, how to enjoy it. And so I'd always had that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. And in my advertising career, I'm not proud of the fact that I'm probably the least qualified person you'll ever meet. But typically, you know, people in advertising tend to have come from very good academic backgrounds. And so I was lucky to get a job as a runner, literally delivering artwork around London. And instead of delivering it, I used to arrive at the client's office, unwrap it, and go and present it. And that's how I got into the client service side of the business. And so I knew when I was in the corporate world and I wanted a creative vehicle, I was sort of actively looking for it. And I read about a village in Indonesia that had horrific sanitation and water-related problems, and they were desperate for a solution. They wanted £100,000 to fix their problem, and £100,000 in my personal life was an inaffordable amount of money, but in my professional career was kind of nothing. And I thought, there must be an application for my commercial talent to fix this, and that's where the idea for OneWater originally sort of came from.
Stay with me to hear what happened next with Simon Devonshire, my business shaper today. Latest travel in a couple of minutes, and before that, some words of wisdom for your burgeoning business idea that you may be having right now from our programme partners at Michigan Dorea.
Hi, my name is Andrew Goldstone, and I'm a partner in the tax group at Michigan Dorea. My advice for any entrepreneur at any stage of business is to become tax aware, even if you're a startup. do spend the time and money. A couple of hours on the web can teach you a lot about what tax structures are out there. And then when you do go and see your tax advisor, you'll be prepared. You won't be paying good money just to be told the basics. Instead, you'll get tailored tax advice on what really makes sense for you and your business.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkonda Raya. It's business, but it's personal.
You're listening to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss. Every Saturday morning, you can catch me talking to a brilliant person from the world of business, a business shaper. If you've missed any of the programmes, you want to look them up, then go to iTunes. If you happen to be delving into FT.com, you'll find us there, or CityM.com. I'm giving you lots of choices, aren't I? Or even British Airways High Life when you next fly. Simon Devonshire is my business shaper today, and he is not just the entrepreneur in residence for the British government. He's also a serial entrepreneur in his own right. And he's also running an incredibly interesting tech incubator called Wayra. And I'm going to come on to that in a moment. I want to pick up the story where we were, Simon, and you were saying, how could I'm sure I could find the way of raising 100,000 quid for this village, this place which didn't have clean water and the sanitation issues and so on and so forth. It was the beginning of One Water. It was the beginning of the global ethics business, which, as I also mentioned, Duncan Goose was the guy who's kind of taking it on, and £10 million later and so on and so forth, extraordinary stuff. So you helped create that one. Yeah. And then what? Did you get a flavour for the fact that, hold on a minute, I can do this?
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, I kind of, yes and no. So I think the first thing was, so One Water is a very simple concept. We sell bottled water over here to fund water wells predominantly in Africa. And as you say, Duncan has done the most remarkable job of building that business up to its success, that it's celebrated its 10th birthday last year, and that it's generated and donated more than £10 million. But the start of that journey was actually born out of my frustration, not only at the problem, and I think for any aspiring entrepreneur, you know, figure out what's your it's not right. You know, for me, it's not right that 2 billion people in the world are dying because they don't have enough access to clean water. You know, so figure out what's your it's not right, because it's the passion that can help drive your business forward. I think the second thing is, having worked in advertising, one of the things that, because I know also you work in advertising, I think a measure of talent is often the generosity of people's willingness to share their ideas and creativity. And let's be really clear, you know, the initial stages of this concept of selling bottled water, I couldn't make it work. And I shared that thought with a group of very close friends, of which Duncan is one of them. And I was astonished the extent to which they leapt on the idea, and Duncan eventually took it on and actually made the business what it is. So I think, you know, don't just harvest your ideas and put them in a bottom drawer. If recognise when you're getting stuck and seek, you know, the help from, you'd be amazed how generous people are when asked an earnest question.
And I imagine that the ideas you have come up with and that are still living, breathing businesses, and I mentioned Concept Cupboard very briefly and Coding Cupboard very briefly as well, these are your babies that you've
absolutely
helped create. But then it sounds like you bring people in very naturally because you want to, because actually you're kind of going, it feels like you're saying, it's not enough just to do one thing. I've got lots of problems to solve.
Exactly.
So can you help me solve the problems? I don't meet many people that do that. A lot of people I meet have focused on one thing. What is it about you and the way that you've seen the world that you go, but I don't want to stop at one thing? What's the serial bit about, really?
I guess just an overwhelming sense of curiosity that keeps driving me on to the next thing. And you know, I just see a world that's just so full of possibility and opportunity. I just virtually everything I look at, where people sense a feeling of frustration or friction, you know, I see a business opportunity, and I'm keen to kind of think about how you can convert whatever that hassle is into something that's going to benefit everybody's lives, and in doing so, create a meaningful, sustainable, robust business that's going to generate revenue and employment.
It sounds so simple when he says it, doesn't it? But he's actually doing it as well. Amazing stuff. Stay with me for more from Simon, my business shaper today. Time for some music. This is Dwayne Eubanks and Dance With A Letter.
Thank you.
That was Dance with a Letter from Duane Eubanks. My sources tell me from Pennsylvania, did accountancy, hated it, became a trumpeter. Very happy he did too. Simon Devonshire is my business shaper today, and he's a serial entrepreneur, business entrepreneur, entrepreneur in residence with the British government, and also in charge of something called WERA. And I'm just going to a quote here from someone who described you, Simon, I think it was Tech City back last year, as an established figure, that's you, an established figure in Britain's tech ecosystem. Now, I'm sure if I knew what that meant, I would be amazed, not joking, but you obviously are a bit of a mover and a shaker in the technology startup space. This WERA incubator that you've created, just explain a little bit about what it is and what you think makes it special.
So I think firstly it's a real privilege to have the opportunity of running WERA. So WERA is a business accelerator that belongs to Telefonica. It's originally created in Latin America, and it's a very simple concept. We build a physical space, we run a competition, we try and find the best digital startups, and we invest in them and we grow them. I was asked to do that, I think, predominantly because of my experience of actually being in their shoes and being an entrepreneur. But I think the reason it's so special and why it's so significant is that we're witnessing the birth of the digital economy. I think it's the best time to be an entrepreneur. There has never been a better time to be an entrepreneur than right now. I think the digital is the thing that enables us to add more value than ever before. We have more connectivity, more computer processing power, more open source software than ever before. And WERA is effectively looking for people who can see that and are pioneering new tech, new businesses, new opportunities, and we're trying to get behind them and grow them.
Now, how do you know? Because it always intrigues me, and you are one of those people that does know, because you've been asked to sit on panels to, you know, back certain entrepreneurs and certain ideas. How do you know that that person and that idea is going to fly? Because you're going to see thousands of them, aren't you? What is it that kicks in your head in terms of deciding whether that one's going to make it, that one's not?
Okay, so in the last 3 years, I've invested in nearly 250 businesses, and they're selected from more than 15,000 applications. And you're right, we do filter through an awful lot of pitches and an awful lot of entrepreneurs. In a word, it's talent. And so what we're looking for really is a proven track record. People who are going to succeed tend to have a track record of achievement, whether it's commercially or professionally or in sport or in some facet in their life they've really driven. Secondly, they've got an idea and they're able to articulate it. And then thirdly, they've got just a conviction. They don't just see this as an opportunity and a possibility. They've got this feeling of absolute inevitability that they can, you know, as solid as this desk is sat in front of me right now, this thing is going to happen.
Well, if that's you, then you know you've got to go and do it. If it isn't you, well, just carry on listening anyway, because we're going to hear our final chat with Simon Devonshire and play a track from Eliane Elias. That's after the latest traffic and travel here on Jazz FM.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon de Rea. It's business, but it's personal.
Touch of Latin before the end of Jazz Shapers Day. That was Oye Como Va from Eliane Elias. Simon Devonshire is my business shaper just for a few more precious minutes, and he is a serial entrepreneur, you've been hearing. He's given you, if you're thinking about a business pitch, a lot of good advice about how to shape it. You've got to have that conviction, and I'm sure you've seen plenty of people that have, and you will continue to see them. In your career, Simon, and it's really, you've gone, as you said, interestingly, from agency to a client to kind of a bit of a startup guru to your own businesses to advising people. Often people are good at doing things, but not necessarily very good at giving advice. You're obviously both. Where have you gone for advice yourself? Who have you looked to through your working career for kind of solid and interesting things to think about? And what's, and has that changed and improved your own ability to do what you want to do?
So I think there's no question in my mind that the person who's advised me most and contributed most to my career success is Mrs. Devonshire. So Jules is phenomenally talented business person in her own right, and that's an invaluable resource if you're lucky enough to have somebody like that, you know, in close proximity to you. But I think also my parents have been a great help. And what's interesting about that from my point of view is the difference between the two of them. So my father was very commercially driven. My mother was very kind of socially driven. And I think that as a blend is quite powerful. It's having empathy with your fellow colleagues and having a sense of purpose and of legacy, I think, is invaluable. It's quite easy to be successful in a business. You can do it just by being completely ruthless and horrible to people. It's much harder to do it with a sense of ethics and care and genuine concern for people's welfare. And I think the third thing is that I'm just been so lucky to work with the most extraordinary, talented people. And people who have had a transformative impact on my life because of the generosity of the input that they've been willing to share with me and the guidance they've given.
Now, you strike me as someone who hasn't encountered failure much, which is a sort of strange thing for me to say, perhaps, and you'll tell me, no, you don't know the whole thing. But over the years, I'm sure you've had some difficult times. And if you have, how have you gone through them?
I've been... I've been fired a couple of times and stuff like that. I've had some periods of real uncertainty about my future, where it's going to go. I've had at least one business venture that I've invested personally not work out, and that's been quite tough. But from every single one, you learn. And actually, one of the things that I've also learned is the power of your own intuition and having confidence, but not confidence beyond your ability, confidence that's got a solid foundation based on consistent achievement. And every time you achieve success, I think it's always worth just kind of banking that mentally a little bit, because then when you're next forced to make a difficult decision, you can kind of think back on your career history of decisions and think, actually, I've not done so badly. And when one door's closed, another one's opened. And for me, fortunately, that's always been actually kind of beneficial, if that makes sense. I've actually, always sort of progressed and gone on not having all your eggs in one basket, just having multiple opportunities at any given time and pursuing multiple commercial ventures means that inevitably some of them are going to come off, right? So it's just about going for it.
And in terms of the future for you, I imagine more of the same, more multiple things to think about, more problems to solve, more people to bring through. Is it like that, or have you got other big goals? I mean, obviously the election's coming up.
Yeah.
You're going to be post that. You may be finished in that role. What's going to happen for Simon?
So for me, I'm very passionate to maintain my corporate career as well as my entrepreneurial career simultaneously. I'm very keen to continue to contribute to government, and I'm very keen to continue to pursue my own ventures, my own opportunities, and particularly on the digital side of things. So, yeah, I think that it's going to be a mixture of all of those things. But I think I am genuinely, it's not that I'm optimistic, I'm actually very pragmatic about the future. The economy is going well and opportunities are improving. And I think that whilst that could be quite difficult for some people going through periods of change, vulnerability, feelings of uncertainty, generally, I think there's more opportunities for everybody.
Well, that sounds good. Listen, thank you so much for being my business shaper. Just before I let you go, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
It's Blue Mosque by Don Rendell and the Incar Quintet. And I think there's nothing better if you're about to have a romantic evening meal with a glass of wine. This is what I would be listening to.
Well, hopefully someone will be doing that tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. Here it is. It's Blue Mosque, Don Rendell and the Incar Quintet. That was Blue Mosque from Don Rendell and Incar Quintet, and it can be found on the Shades of Blue album. It's the song choice of my business shaper today, Simon Devonshire. Entrepreneurial to the core, knowledgeable as well, unbelievably knowledgeable about the place that he is in right now, which is the digital entrepreneurial space, and incredibly balanced to boot. How about that? Do join me again, same time, same place. That's 9 a.m. here on Jazz FM. Next Saturday morning. In the meantime, though, coming up next here on Jazz FM, it's Nigel Williams.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishcon de Rea. It's business, but it's personal.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.